And welcome to Wednesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. He is Jeff Fiegels. I'm Lance Meadow. With you for the next 60 minutes, 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You could also chime in on the discussion using Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. I'm sure you have seen multiple reports that are swirling that say that the Giants have added Brandon Marshall. We will be discussing that. It is not official, though, from the team perspective. During the course of the program, if the Giants do make an official announcement, we will let that be known. But right now, it's all based on multiple reports that are out there on social media. But Jeff, certainly big news in terms of bolstering the offense and adding a taller wide receiver, Marshall 6'4", and somebody that can provide some versatility that you add to the mix with Odell Beckham and Sterling Shepard.
Yep, and I think when you go back and look at the season and you break it down and you say to yourself, what is this team missing, you know, offensively? I think it's probably not the biggest need. However, you look at their red zone production, that is a big part of this. And when you have Brandon Marshall, a guy that's 6'4" and 230 pounds and very, very physical, we know that. And you have Eli Manning, who loves tall receivers. You go back to 2007, look at Plaxico Burress. And by the way, this kind of reminds me of the trio a little bit of 2007 with Plaxico Burress, Steve Smith, and Victor Cruz. I mean, when you look at the three of those guys, the comparison as far as the height level and things like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know there's a lot of people that are going to be, and we'll talk about this, but I think scratching their head a little bit like, well, why? But this makes sense to me. And I'll tell you for a couple reasons. I think obviously we know he's a heck of a football player. Two, it's not coming at a very, very steep expense. I think that there was a little bit of a hometown discount here with him. I know he wants to be close to New York City for all of his other stuff, whatever it is. But there's, you know, the TV and the radio, whatever. But I think that what's going to support Brandon Marshall here is that this is a really good locker room. It's a really good organization, as we know. But I think the locker room the Giants have and the leaders that are here and the way that the locker room is run, Brandon Marshall will fit fine in this locker room. This is not going to be a place where he has to be that guy like he was at the Jets, where he's defending things all the time. And he's not going to have to speak his mind here, because he'll be held accountable. And I think that Coach McAdoo does a great job at that. But more importantly, I think the players do a good job of policing the locker room themselves. And I think that he will be a good fit here. And, you know, you look back what the Giants did last year before free agency, and even right at the beginning of free agency, they made a big splash. This is a huge splash for the Giants offense. Last year it was defense. They're starting on offense, and I think this is a step in the right direction. We're going to talk about cap space and all that kind of things. You can ask us all the questions you want about it.
The mathematical equations.
But we don't have the contract in front of us. It's not official yet, so we have no idea what even the contract is all about and the way that they structure things and where the money is going to go and where it's going to come from to sign other players. Folks, you got to also remember something about this. And in the back of your mind, when you're going into free agency and you only have X amount of dollars, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. Sorry, I stole the show, Lance. I haven't been on in a while. But you have to understand that you have to set at least $5 million aside for your draft picks. So, you know, you got to remember that there's still some money that has to go along there. But the guys upstairs, they are caponomic specialists. They understand exactly what's going on. But more importantly, this is a good day for Brandon Marshall and the Giants. And when it becomes official, it's just going to be just really good stuff.
And we will keep you posted on that front. Certainly appreciate you for tuning in to Big Blue Kickoff Live, as according to multiple reports, the Giants have added former Jet Brandon Marshall. You mentioned they made a big splash last offseason, Jeff. And coincidentally, it's the second straight offseason in which a Jet is going to change locker rooms, because last offseason it was Damon Harrison who bolstered the defense, and now it's Brandon Marshall who adds something to the mix for the receiving.
And
court.
You kind of wonder, like, you know, we're just speculating on this, but hey, was there a phone that was picked up and somebody had called Brandon
as
Marshall?
A recruiting pitch? Is that what you're alluding to?
Or maybe, yeah. Maybe vice versa. Maybe Brandon Marshall called up, you know, Snacks and said, hey, dude, how'd you like it over there? And he probably said to him, how'd I like it? I went to the playoffs, dude. Haven't been to the playoffs yet, Brandon. And really, when you look at the intent of this signing, it kind of gives you the idea that the Giants are in the now mode. This is the now mode for a Super Bowl run, and it's really in the next 2 years, because you know what? All the linchpin on this is number 10, And, you know, he's getting to that point where, and I'm not telling you something that wasn't said on record, that he's on the back nine, as Jerry Reese says, but I will tell you this, that Eli still has a lot of football left. And one guy like Brandon Marshall, who's never been to the playoffs, understands that this team has a chance. And I think that's real important to him. And really, I can speak from experience being on teams that were no good and didn't go to the playoffs. I played in three playoff games in 20 years before I went to the Super Bowl. So, and it grinds on you. You pay your dues. Now, Brandon Marshall, I think he's been in the league 9 years, but I think that this is something that kind of gets in your mind to say, listen, I'm tired of playing on these bad teams. And, you know, hey, if I can go out and make $6 million a year and go to a contender and a team that a town that I don't have to leave in New York City, this is a good move for him.
Well, and also when you take into consideration the talent that is going to be around him and the quarterback throwing him the football, you know, the Jets have had their fair share of issues under center. Now, even with that being said, Jeff, I'm looking at Marshall's numbers. Still had 59 receptions for 788 yards, got in the end zone 3 times.
He was hurt.
Durable. He was banged up, but he did play 15 of the 16 games. And if you look at average yardage per catch on his career, you're talking about just around 15 yards per catch consistently, despite the fluctuation in quarterback play.
Go look at his numbers in the red zone. Go look at his numbers in the red zone. You'll be really impressed with that. I mean, the guy is very physical. He'll go up for the football. He's a tough guy. And I'll tell you what, he's a blocker. You look at some
That's
of the film, the downfield blocking he does on plays. He is a very good blocking wide receiver because he's a big dude. He's 6'4", 230 pounds, and he can get his arms and his hands on you and block. So that's a good feature and a good attribute to have too.
Well, and that's a huge key because you brought up some of the other trios that the Giants have had, and I'll bring up a name that's within that mix. I mean, Amani Toomer. Mm-hmm. Amani Toomer to me never got enough credit for his ability
blocking.
To get up the field and block.
No question.
Everybody talked about him as a receiver, Jeff, but you need that facet, especially when you're talking about, you know, even though Odell Beckham has been an established name, he's still very young, Jeff. And so is Sterling Shepard. So, you know, this adds a veteran presence in the locker room. It also adds a taller, bigger target for Eli Manning in the likes of Plexico Burress, in the likes of Akeem Nicks too, somebody that, hey, mm-hmm. you can throw it up to in the end zone and you can say, you know what, go up, catch the football, make a play for your quarterback.
And Eli likes to make that throw that he feels confident the guy can go up and get it. And when you got about 5 more or 6 more inches on some of these other guys that are in the lineup, it makes a difference. You know, now you got to kind of think about the I don't even want to start. I guess I should.
Uh-oh.
You know, there's a component to this that is going to be and you want, I hope there's no drama, but you know, listen, you're Brandon Marshall, you're a number one wide receiver all of your career. You know you're not going to be the number one guy here. I would imagine that conversation has been had and they you know, he's going to have to understand that Odell Beckham is the new young guy and he's one of the best in the league, but that doesn't mean that Brandon Marshall is just going to be like, I'll be the number two guy, and then when I get here, I'm going to make a stink about it. I think that he's going to be a support role. He's going to have plenty of catches, and he's going to enjoy watching the way. Because listen, I think that both of these guys are hard workers. I don't think that, you know, Odell, we know how he works at practice. He works his butt off, and I think the same of Brandon Marshall. I think these guys they come to work, they play hard. Both of them have had and will continue. Hopefully not, but to have off-the-field stuff that goes on and just some of the attitude. Which in mind, I tell you, folks, for all the years that I was in the National Football League, that's one position that there is always drama at. It always has been. It's the wide receiver position, so it's never going to change. But these guys will grow together. And then you got Sterling Shepard, who's a young buck, and has, you know, he's going to be in his second year now, and now has a guy like Brandon Marshall and Odell Beckham as two veteran guys. And this is just, you know, the more you talk about it, the more it passes the smell test, in my opinion.
Well, this is why we always talk about why you need three corners in the National Football League.
Sure. Don't
we talk
oh,
about that all the time, Jeff? In relation to the Giants, why DRC moved to the slot so that then Eli Apple and Janoris Jenkins could become consistent figures on the outside? Because now if you look at the Giants on paper with Marshall, Beckham, and Shepard, opposing teams are going to need three corners. So it's the same thing for the Giants defense, knowing what's going on across the division and the NFL landscape.
Yep, and you know, and when you start to talk about some of the other missing pieces in the offense, is you know, there's still time. There's still free agency. We're still 50-something days away from the NFL draft. A lot of evaluations to be going on, a lot of deals to be made, and the Giants will certainly be ready for that draft day, because as they get towards the draft day, they're going to have a better idea with what they did in free agency. So, and let me tell you something. The free agency market is a flurry of things that happen right away. We've seen that. And then there's the second wave. There's always kind of a lull in the action. And then that's where guys sometimes overestimate their value, and they get a little bit deterred because they're not going to get the money that they want. And it dries up. Money dries up. Now, money will dry up very quickly with the Giants because they don't have a lot of it. Last year, they spent it like, you know, they had to bring in a 53-foot trailer in here with the money that they had. This year, they're on a little forklift, you know. they got one suitcase this year. That's it. But I think that there's some guys that would eye this. And when you're a free agent and you talk about the New York Giants and you talk about Eli Manning, you talk about a team that went to the playoffs, was 11-5 last year. Those are some really good things to look at when you want to go to a team that's going to be winning. You know, if you're looking at some teams that are in a rebuilding mode, the Jets, the Cleveland Browns, things like that, that's all about the money when you go to a team like that. You know, here, guys will take a little bit of a discount to get on a team that they think that can go to the Super Bowl.
Well, in Marshall's case, it certainly helped that he had established himself in this market. There is involvement for him from a radio and television perspective, so I think it's going to make the transition easy, and that was a big plus for the Giants because they didn't have to sell New York to him.
Right.
He already understood what the market was about. You brought up, though, an interesting point also in terms of perhaps what the identity of this offseason could be for the Giants, regardless of how much money there is to throw out there, because what they did entering last offseason, Jeff, is they saw they had the 32nd-ranked defense. So what did they do? Free agency was to address and bring that up, and that's exactly what the result showed in 2016. Now, if you look at what happened last year with the offense, production dipped a little bit, touchdowns were down, yardage was down. So now, with the signing of Marshall, which, by the way, is not official yet, according to multiple reports, is perhaps a sign that they're looking to bring in some more weapons for Eli Manning and company and get better in the red zone, because that's where the production dipped last season, not being able to punch it in, not walking
score
away with
points.
Touchdowns.
This offense did not score points. When you look at it, it was atrocious. The other thing is that Coach McAdoo had said it. This offense has got to stop turning the football over, and he put that on Eli. Fumbles in the pocket, which come from pressure, which comes from offensive linemen. So if you want to kind of go with a little trickle-down effect with that. But the interception certainly came from errant passes by Eli Manning. And a big statistic from the receiver's position was drop passes. How many drop passes were there last year?
Numbers
of drop passes. So you're beginning to kind of understand the landscape of what you want to do to improve this offense. They went out and got a guy that can score points in the red zone, has great hands. You know, obviously he's going to drop his share of footballs, but for the most part, he's going to catch a lot more than he drops. And so that's kind of an area of emphasis that they're going after. And now you got to start looking for some other pieces of the puzzle, a blocking tight end. What are you going to do at offensive line, running back position? You know, and I think if you get past those, I think you're on your way. And I think that there should be some improvement in the offense if those pieces of the puzzle just start getting put back. Be patient. That's all I could say.
The new league year hasn't even started.
It's you got to be patient here, and it'll all work out. And just so you understand how caponomics works, is that teams know what they have to do to get money, and it's not rocket science. You're going to have to restructure contracts, or you're going to have to get rid of guys that you don't want around. It's going to free up some cap space, and just, you know, you can just follow all the reports around the league and Twitter and everything else. They're pretty much telling you which teams, especially this team. This team went out and had 14 free agents this year. I think that's what it was. They only re-signed two or three. And so, you know, all the rest of them, at this time in the game, if you were going to be back, you would have already had something going on if they wanted to re-sign you. So whether you're restricted free agent or unrestricted, and they want, like, for instance, like Zach Diossi, you know, they wanted him to come back.
They brought him back, yeah.
So those guys are, they're on, you know, those kind of guys, they know they may not be back with the Giants. And, you know, there's some restricted free agents in there, too, that they tendered to guys. And whatever it was, Kerry Wynn was one of them that got tendered the lowest offer. I think it was $1.7 million that I'll sign up for that. I know you will, too. But there's the free agent market is a crazy game. You see it come out right away, and then all of a sudden it'll kind of tail off a little bit, and then you can get some bargains. Really can.
Depending on how the market plays out. Yeah. And then there's also the draft to fill some voids, because obviously you have to see what happens in free agency. And, you know, one thing I will add to what you were alluding to, Jeff, even if a Giant has not been re-signed yet, it's possible that that player, that agent, wanted to test the market and then come back to the Giants and say, hey, this is what we're looking at. Is this something in your ballpark that you could bring us back on?
Right. And when you look at some of the guys, there would have already been reports that the Giants had to offer them something and they didn't take it and they're going into free agency. I know that the Giants are wanting to sign some of their free agents that want them back. I think particularly in my mind, two guys off the top of my head that I think the Giants would like to have back, and that would be Keenan Robinson, who would be one of them. And I think that they want to have John Jerry back. I think that, you know, he was a starter. He's durable, can play different positions, and I feel like he's a guy that they would like to have back. And again, that's kind of as an advantage for the player. You're able to go out and test the market and then be able to come back to the team you just played for and say, will you take me for X? And they may or may not say yes or no. I don't know.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number, hashtag Giants Chat. Just to reset here off the top, in case you're just joining us, according to multiple reports, the Giants have added Brandon Marshall to the receiving corps. Nothing is official. There has not been any official announcement from the team's perspective, but we are discussing it here on Wednesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. So on paper, it appears it will be Marshall, Beckham, and Sterling Shepard as the trio for Eli Manning to toss the football around in 2017. Let's open up the lines here, get the festivities started. I'm sure a lot of people want to weigh in on the conversation. We've got Chris in Jersey. Chris, what's happening?
Hey, guys, what's up?
Doing well,
what's up, Chris?
How's things with you?
I love your show. Jeff, you covered everything that I think most most concerns about Brandon Marshall are about. I really believe that the last 5, 6, 7 years, Brandon Marshall has been nothing but a professional athlete in the league. I think his head is on straight. Early in his career, he had a little bit of problems there, but basically his head is on straight.
It is.
I think he's going to be a locker room addition.
Well, listen, his head is on straight because you want to know something. He tell you, you know, he was, what was it? He was sick. What did he have? Was it depression or he went through...
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is. And then, you know, he got on some medicine and it was able to get his life back together. And so you're right. He's not a distraction anymore like he was before.
Well, and the other positive is he's played in big markets, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's
Chicago,
not as if he's
Denver.
Been Chicago, and he's been here in New York, too, with the Jets. So, I mean, I think he understands what the media frenzy is about and what it can become. He's also been on teams that have a lot of personalities, but what you were talking about earlier, Jeff, when we were going back and forth with respect to being around other talented receivers and understanding that maybe I'm going to be number two now. You know, he was with Alshon Jeffery in Chicago. Now, Jeffery was a younger receiver at the
time.
Kind
of took it over, though.
But still, he was in the transitional phase. And then with the Jets, I know Eric Decker was hurt last season, but he also played alongside another prolific wide receiver. So I don't think that's going to be a huge transition now that he's going to be opposite Odell Beckham, considering he's played with two teams where they either were grooming another number one or he was playing alongside a 1A, 1B type of receiver.
Yeah. I think overall he fell in the Giants' lap because of the NFL Network contract he has. We saved quite a few millions of dollars on this receiver. I think he has, in my opinion, I think he has a lot of football left in him. Yeah, he's 32 years old, but I think he could be a Plaxico Burress type. I know on my bucket list, I just checked one of my guys off, a tall wide receiver. I think he's really going to work out really, really well for Eli. Eli likes throwing that. Goal post high, and that they do in practice, that high ball, he likes to throw it with a couple of nice tight ends. If we draft one with Adams and Plaxico, I think Eli is going to be sitting really well in that pocket, even though we may not be able to address the offensive line like we would like to. I do have a plan B on the offensive line, because I'm the defensive guy at 23, cornerback, running back, tight end. But you know what? There's a guy, a guard, and I know everyone like wants to stand up and shout, a guard at 23, you're nuts. I get it. But this is a plan B. They're probably 6-1. There's Forrest Lamp, in my opinion, in the tape that I've looked at, he is a solid, solid guard. He can be a sneak type. He's a nasty kind of guy. my projection and other analysts' projection is this guy can be exceptional, and this guy could be a guard for the Giants for the next 10 years. Now, you look at that and you say, oh, okay, we go with the best available player on the board. I get all of that. Need is important, too. We only got 2 or 3 years with Eli. It's a plan B. It's not my plan A. But again, it's something you should consider or maybe throw out there. And the last thing I'll say, and I'll take it off the air, guys, we need a kicker. We need a guy to put points on the board. With that said, guys, thank you very much.
Yeah. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in, Chris.
The Giants have a kicker on their roster. A lot of people don't know who he is. He signed a futures contract with the Giants, and he was on the Tennessee Titans practice squad. And I'm forgetting his name right now, but I've been told through my kicking sources that this guy is pretty good and very, very strong leg. And so you'll see him compete for that job, in my opinion, this off season and during the during training camp this year. So, and really, you know, the right now I think the kicking thing is the kick a free agent kicker is going to cost you $2 million, a good one, you know. So they're kind of just laying in the weeds on that one. You know, I think they may go. Giants may go with a young guy and see what he can do.
Try to develop them. Yeah.
Try to develop them. And then, you know, you can always find a veteran kicker at the nth hour. You really can, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, the Bills just let go of Dan Carpenter.
Yeah, there's a couple guys out there.
He was one of their cuts.
But my point is, if you're going to go after a kicker in free agency on day one or two, it's going to cost you $2 million a year. And they're just not willing to pay that, in my opinion. There's just no way.
I think you're referring to Aldrick Rosas.
Yes, that's it.
Who you're referring
to? Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the one who was signed to a reserve futures contract. Mm-hmm. So he's a young guy, 22 years old, out of Southern Oregon. So they're going to have an opportunity to evaluate him during camp and so forth. But, you know, as you mentioned, they could bring in a veteran as competition, and they could bring in a veteran late near the time that the spring comes around. It's not something that they necessarily have to do right as March 9th comes around.
And Robbie Gould is a free agent, and, you know, whether he signs anywhere or not, but I'm sure he would like to come back to the Giants. I know he enjoyed his time here as much as I got to visit with him. And so we'll see what happens there. But a little more pressing issues than putting the thing through the goalpost right now. And We'll continue to work on that, I'm sure.
Now, the last caller was also referring to the offensive line, which always receives a lot of attention on this program, Jeff.
Of course, it should.
Forrest Lamp, who he was referring to, is...
Forrest Lamp?
Yes, Forrest Lamp. That's quite a name, isn't it?
I am not going to forget that name.
I was going to say, that's memorable enough, Jeff.
Forrest Lamp.
I don't think we'll butcher that one at
all.
He
likes lamps. Brick. He's like Brick. I like lamps.
You could have went the Forrest route, too. I mean,
Forrest,
that's a name for an offensive lineman, is it not?
Forrest Lamp. Run Lamp. Wow.
Well, he's somebody that played tackle in college, and they expect him to transition to guard in the NFL. And
where's he out of?
I'm sorry. Out of Western Kentucky.
Okay. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Is where Forrest Lamp is out of.
And where is he rated at? Did it have him rated up there? You and Schmuck seem to have the quickest hands on the computer and get these websites. I will ask that question and try to go find it, and 30 minutes later I'll have it.
And the computer hopefully will still be functioning.
Yeah,
if I have enough juice
on it.
Well, yeah. He's expected to go pretty much anywhere between, I would say, the first and the second round,
okay,
from what I've heard.
All right.
But he did have a very good combine, and, you know, he reminds me of Brandon Scherff, who went to the Redskins because he was another player that they were talking about possibly transitioning to guard. Now, with that being said, Scherff went high. Scherff was a top five pick and turned into an all-pro and a Pro Bowl player, and the Redskins wound up starting him at guard. So I think what the last caller was alluding to, you don't hear teams draft guards or people that they project to be starting guards in the first round you want to tackle. But Sheriff's an example, was a top five pick, and it worked out quite well for the Redskins.
Yeah, and I think last year was a good run for the tackles and offensive linemen. I don't think that the draft is as deep with those guys this year, even though this year's draft is pretty deep collectively. I don't think it is with the offensive linemen.
And that's why perhaps you could see a lot of teams be aggressive in free agency if they don't think they can make up for that in the draft.
If they have the money.
Correct. That's the big thing. The big thing is,
which sometimes when you look at what we just said about the draft and not much depth there, Then you say, okay, so let's go out and find as a free agent. Well, that actually will put a little tick in the market. That will make some teams overpay for some of these offensive linemen. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that market for offensive linemen pick up. I mean, Russell Okung, he's a guy that's probably going to be – did I say it right? Okung?
Okun. Yes.
He's probably going to be an $8 million, $10 million guy, you know, and he's 30-something years old, right?
He's 29.
29.
But he's dealt with some injuries.
Yeah.
And he was let go from his Denver contract, and it looks like, based on what I'm looking at here, his 2016 average was about – $10.5 million.
Fluker is another guy.
Fluker is another one who was let go by San Diego, correct. He was just added to the market. You also have Ryan Clady, who was with the Jets.
Yep.
He was let go.
And the guy from Baltimore, too.
Wagner.
He's
going to be on the market. Kelvin Beachum was let go from Jacksonville, the former Steeler. There's a number of veteran tackles that are going to be out there. So there's going to be plenty of competition. And if teams do want to bring in a veteran, they're going to have an opportunity. The question is, how quickly do these guys drop off the market? And how is the market going to be set? Because, you know, Jeff, it takes the first guy, once he gets his contract, then all of a sudden, you know, the agent for the next tackle is going to say, well, wait a minute, if Okun got this and my client was more durable.
That's why it's always hard to be the first guy to sign a position, because you are setting the market. But that's by doing your homework, and that's what, you know, listen, it goes both ways, because I think when a lot of teams will tell players, you know, our organization sees you as X. If you want to go out and try to get Y, then go ahead, but this is what we're going to pay you. Then when you're a free agent, now that's what I'm talking about, they're expiring contracts. And now the player that was on your team previous year, they're going to go be a free agent. The Giants a lot of times will say, you know, we'll re-sign you at this. It's obviously going to be lower than what that player thinks, but sometimes it's higher in the long run. They should have taken it. And, you know, so
because they don't wind up getting something elsewhere.
Because the market, number one, is overrated, and number two, the market dries up, and then they're stuck. And so there's some guys that have lost a lot of money doing that. Bird in the hand's worth two in the bush sometimes.
Miscalculate.
And, you know, you look at a guy like Zach Diossi, who just re-upped with the Giants. I'm sure that he could have went into free agency and got some sniffs from other teams. But whether they were going to pay him what he got here, you never know. But, you know, there's some stability. He's been with the organization for 10 years, and that comes into play a lot.
At this point in your career, the last thing you want to do is uproot yourself and your family and move on elsewhere.
Well, and especially if it's only going to be for a minimal amount of money. I mean, if you're talking about doubling your salary somewhere, then you probably can have that discussion with your wife and say, where am I going to be able to get that extra money that I'm not being offered by my present team? Then it makes kind of some sense. And that actually happened to me. I mean, you know, coming from when I was in Arizona – and I went to Seattle. I mean, Arizona was offering me basically half of what the Seattle Seahawks were giving me as a signing bonus. And I'm like, I can't. I got to take this. We got to go. Let's go. Pack it up.
Pack it up. Move the family out.
Yeah.
Though at least that's not terrible. You went from Arizona to Seattle. That's not a tremendous move.
It's not a tremendous
move.
It's not a tremendous
move. For the most part.
Yeah. But then the next move was a big one.
Yes,
that was because I spent 5 years in Seattle. You know, and my kids were a little bit older. My son was my oldest son was in sixth or seventh grade, which doesn't seem like a lot, but that's when they're kind of forming a lot of good friends.
Of course.
So that was a big one when I left Seattle to go to New York, but you know, Seattle was just, they were playing games with me. They offered me some money, and I said no. I want to go into free agency. Then the Giants offered me. And I actually gave the Seattle Seahawks one last chance to up their ante before I went into free agency, and they said no. And I said, okay. And so then the Giants had offered me a contract, and I actually went to them and said, if you want to match this, I'll stay. And they said no. And I said to Ernie Accorsi, I said, I'm coming. And the Seattle Seahawks actually called me about 2 hours after they had found out that I was ready to sign with the Giants and said, we'll match your offer.
Now they want to match it. Yeah.
And I said, well, I already told Ernie. I gave him my word. And Ernie actually had said that to me. He says, listen, because they were going to sign Sean Lindetta back. And he said this to me. He said, I need to know that if you give me your word, that then you're going to give me your word. And I said, well, I am. I'm a man of my word. I'm telling you, I'm coming. I'm excited about it. And he said, okay, good. Good, but don't tell me you're changing your mind. I said, I won't. And then, of course, Seahawks wanted me to change my mind.
Yeah.
And I told them the same story. I said, I gave my word, and I don't know how much word yours guys' are worth because you've been screwing me around big time. And
they waited
I'm
too
gone.
Long
yeah.
to make
yeah.
their move.
It would have been really easy for me. And it kind of goes back to what I was telling you about, you know, the hometown discount or just trying to – you'd rather stay put if the money is similar. But a lot of these guys you know, I think the free agency this year is going to be a quick in and out. I don't think there's going to be much, and then all of a sudden it's just going to slow down. And because there's really nothing, there's no, like, there's not, and to me, a lot of going on other than kind of the quarterbacks kind of switching places and things like that. But, you know, it'll be swift. It'll last the first couple of days, and then I don't think it's going to be much. I think the draft's going to be a little bit more, more fun to watch this year. I think it's going to be a really good draft.
Well, there's not a lot of big name quarterbacks out there.
Yep.
So that's one of the reasons why I would agree with you there. And I think it really depends on how teams, as you just alluded to, view the draft. If they say to themselves, hey, we can wait till the middle to late rounds and get some of these positions addressed, then why are we going to go make big splashes on the free agent market? It's just not necessary to do that.
Don't have to.
And a lot of the big names were given the franchise tag, so that's why you're probably not going to see much movement. And it's no surprise, pass rushers, they never hit the free agent market because when they perform at an elite level, the teams make sure that they keep their respective players. All right, let's reopen up the phone lines here, 201-939-4513. He is Jeff Fiegels. I'm Lance Meadow. Thanks so much for tuning in to Wednesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. We mentioned the word offensive line, so what does that mean? Well, you bring Charlie out of Portland, Maine from the woodworks. What's happening, Charlie?
Charlie.
Hey, Jeff. Hey,
good.
Lance.
Good
hey,
to hear
you. I got a question for you. If the lamp is lit in the forest and nobody's there, does anybody see it?
That answer would be no. That answer would be no. No.
If you're not there to confirm
first of
it,
all,
then
I'd like
clearly.
I'd like to find an outlet in the forest that the lamp can be plugged into lamp. To be lit. So
That's a good. But leave it to Charlie. He's old school. He's been out in the woods plenty of time up in Portland.
Oh,
Maine,
yeah.
So Charlie
hey,
knows his way around there.
Together, cause electricity, and you can plug something in. There you go.
Charlie,
anyway.
I know you have a solution to the problem.
Yeah, he'll rub some Anika on it. That's exactly what he'll do.
Hey, the Brandon Marshall thing, okay?
You hate it.
No, I like the signing. It's a low-ball signing. I mean, it's not like a high thing. But I like it because now we're going to have, like, three wide receivers wide open down the field while Eli gets sacked because we have no offensive line to protect them. So that's going to be great. But anyway.
So do you got to hey? So Charlie, do you have a name for us that we need from the Charlie archives of offensive lines? What are we looking for here? Who's a guy
we
out there? Free agents
get
first.
A tackle.
Okay.
I mean, there's a whole
do
bunch
you really
of people
want to ask him that question?
No, I do. I want to know.
He's going to give us now a 15-minute dissertation.
No, it has to be quick. But I know you have somebody on your radar. I picture your living room with a big board on it with all these offensive linemen. Nothing else on there other than offensive linemen.
We got to get a left tackle. I mean, there's a million of them out there now. And there's another guy from San Diego that they're negotiating with to cut his contract. I can't remember the guy's name. He's number 77.
Oh, he must be that good then, clearly. He can't remember his name, and they're reportedly negotiating his contract. Yeah, he's that good.
I forgot his name. But anyway, they think they might end up cutting him, and he's a good tackle. But so there's another guy. So there's Okun. There's all these guys you just named, you know. Even the Jet guy, Clady. I mean, he can come from the Jets over here. I mean, we gotta you know, bring in a couple of guys, actually. We got to fix this offensive line, you know. And getting Marshall, I think, the plan now for tight end is probably going to be just getting a blocking tight end, somebody who can actually block. And maybe we won't go deep in the draft, you know, get somebody early in the draft as a tight end.
Well,
now that we got Marshall, we got the tall dude who can help us in the red zone.
Charlie,
so,
there's
I mean,
a number
me,
of...
this is all about – and the thing is, we've got to clear up some cap space. We got to – I just read something that they're getting – supposedly, this probably isn't true, but they're getting closer to signing JPP to a long-term contract, which would be great. But we also need to redo Vereen's contract. We need to do something with P.J. Thomas. Rain keeps falling on my head. we either got to cut the dude or we got to redo his contract. And I also read that we're trying to redo Harris's contract, or they're going to cut him. So there is money there to be made for free agency. This should all be done before Thursday at 4 o'clock. So, you know, we know how much money we have, and the more money we have, we'll be able to get better players on the offensive line. So
well, situations like that, Charlie, are always fluid. I don't really think that the Giants are in a unique situation. We've seen players, they restructure contracts 4 or 5 days into free agency. They could do it before free agency. Yeah. You know, you basically, you react as you have interest in other players, but you don't cut and restructure deals unless you actually are aggressively pursuing a guy.
And I also, I think you saw the splash in free agency today and when it's official. I don't think there's going to be another. I really don't.
That's it? Brandon Marshall. Listen, Brandon Marshall on like a low ball
Charlie,
contract.
Charlie,
a big splash.
Charlie, how big of a splash you want to make? It's almost like you're going to go to the belly
tackle.
Flopping. You're going to go to a belly flopping contest when you weigh 130 pounds. You think you're going to win? They have no money. How much of a splash do you want them to make?
I want to get a left tackle.
For
that's
how much money? How much money are you going to get a left tackle that you want for? You're going to go get a guy for $3 million? There's no way.
No, we got to get somebody for $8 or $9 million. We've got to get a good Pro Bowl-ish left tackle to solidify this line. We've got to have it. Or like I said, we're going to have three wide receivers running down the field open while Eli gets sacked. What good is that?
Then you're just going to spend all your money on a left tackle, and you have no other money to spend on anything else after that.
Well, that's why you have to restructure all these people's contracts, and then we will have the money. That's what I'm saying.
But I have a feeling that some of these offensive tackles that you're talking about are not going to be first day signings. I think there's some guys going to be some low hanging fruit there that you're going to be able to grab up and save a little bit of money. So we'll see.
Well,
and according to you, anybody that we sign will be better than who's on the roster.
Exactly. I believe that.
Charlie's
okay,
going to campaign and appreciate the phone call. Charlie's
Thank you, Charlie. It's good talking to you.
Charlie will campaign to put pads on himself, and he'll say that he's better than half the tackles, too. Well, according to all the reading that he's
He will be the only one that thinks
doing
that.
In his cabin, yes.
That's for sure.
Up in Portland, Maine. All right, let's head back to the phone lines here as we move along on Wednesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. We've got Robin in the ATL. Robin, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks
for making it. So what do you have for us?
Just the Brandon Marshall signing. I think it's a great pickup. I think Brandon, he bring the experience. Plus, he know how to get separation and stuff. He know how to find those holes in defense and stuff. So I think it's a great pickup. So I think we'll be good with having Odell, Sterling, and Brandon in the lineup. So
well,
only thing now is just pick up some tackles.
On paper, it's a very nice trio, and that's the whole goal, to give Eli Manning as many weapons as possible. And also, you know, I think the other way to look at this is if Marshall and Beckham can produce to the level that most people expect, what it then could perhaps do for the running game, which the Giants would like to get going based on last season's results, when defenses now have to decide where they want to put their attention towards. Do they want to take out the wide receivers? And does that then leave some more space to operate for the running game? You know, the Marshall signing is, it's not just about what Brandon's going to do statistically. It's about what he could do to perhaps open up the field for Shepard and Beckham and vice versa. Yeah. And then to me, I look at it more through the lens of the running game. Well, his presence on the field is a blocker and a receiver that's going to take attention towards him. How can that maybe help the running game? Everybody focuses on the offensive line, which is key. But when you have other weapons on the field, that can also free up opportunities for the run game, and that's something that can't be overlooked.
All right, man. That's pretty much it, man. So thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Appreciate
the phone call.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks so much for weighing in on the conversation.
He will have a good presence on the football field because, you know what, it's not like we're going that Brandon Marshall is washed up. The guy can still play some football, and the teams are going to have those corners to cover him, especially, they're going to put their best corner on Odell Beckham, but maybe their second best corner is only 5'10", 5'11", and you just try to, as we all talk about all the time, it's the matchups in football that make the difference sometimes, so.
And then when you have to move corners around, as you just mentioned,
that frees up,
it sometimes presents favorable matchups. And you're right, because now when the teams go up against the Giants, Jeff, they're going to say to themselves, do we need to take our biggest corner and put him on Brandon Marshall because we're worried about the height disparity? Or is our biggest corner the most versatile corner? We need to make sure we leave him on Odell Beckham with safeties over the top. You know, that's now going to be the game of chess that other teams are going to have to determine. And here's the other thing. If you're the Cowboys, if you're the Redskins, and you're the Eagles, Jeff, how does free agency change for you now, knowing what the Giants are presenting on paper from a receiving corps?
Well, it can change, but I mean, if you feel like that's something now you have to address and go out and get a big corner, and you know, back in the day when Plaxico Burress was here and there were some other really tall receivers in the NFC East, that the cornerbacks became, they started to get big. They really did. And you know, nowadays the receivers are tall, but they're still the guys of the Odell Beckhams of the world and, you know, Pierre Garçons and DeSean Jackson. They're not all that big. They're just speedy and can get over the top. It can affect it. I mean, but you know, you look at the receivers that may be leaving this division, the two of them in particular are the guys from Washington. DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon are probably going to be out of there.
Well, it looks like Garçon,
along with their quarterback, maybe.
Yeah, Garçon, according to reports, looks like he's going to head to San Francisco to reunite with Kyle Shanahan. And we've heard reports about maybe the Niners are going to try to acquire Cousins.
So that means that, you know, that and really, that's kind of a when you're the Redskins and you're sitting there looking at what's in this year's draft as far as a quarterback position, you know, they're going to have to definitely go out and get, you know, another quarterback somewhere.
Unless they have a lot of faith in Colt
McCoy,
which apparently they do if you believe the reports out there. But still, you know, Cousins is a quarterback that's been under center for them and started every game the last two seasons. Doesn't grow on trees.
Or maybe they decide to trade that pick for next year's, you know, number two, three pick or whatever, because the guy out of USC is going to be – everybody's going to be chomping at the bit to get him that needs a quarterback in 2018.
Well, they would also need to have a pretty bad season, too, in 2017. Though, if they lose Kirk Cousins, based on what happens when quarterback play dips, your team tends to struggle as a result of that. So perhaps that'll happen. I don't know if Washington's necessarily game planning for that, but that's something that they got to prepare for if they do decide to part ways with their star quarterback. All right, let's head back to the phone lines. We got Rob in Georgia. Rob, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Rob.
I had a point I wanted to make, but I got to go at Charlie real quick. The offensive line, to me, is not that far off. I mean, you can get a half-decent average left tackle and be okay compared to what Flowers did last season and the season before that. Flowers is going to have to stay on the offensive line in some capacity just based on where he was selected in the draft, and he's still developing. But my biggest thing, tight end, I don't care about O.J. Howard. I don't care about Njoku. Adam Shaheen from Ashland, I think he's 6'6", 278, ran a 4.7. Good blocker, good frame. His height alone is going to make him
an athlete in the passing game. Where is he from?
Ashland.
Ashland?
Yeah.
So you're going to take a player from Ashland over a player from
an established free agent? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
Established free agent or – I mean, if you can get the free agent for a decent price, but we're talking about a cap room. And
okay, I see what you're saying. Okay, I was just trying to follow. Okay, I see what you're saying now. I got you.
And I mean, we were big on Eric Ebron the other year. See what happened with him. He fizzed out pretty quick. I think this guy is going to be a dominant force for years to come, just based on sheer size.
Well, they got some good looking tight ends.
There's a lot of depth at that position, correct? And you know, I mean, I think it goes beyond some of the names that you threw out. And if they want to address it in the second round, the third round, I think you get a quality tight end. But at the same time, I also think that there's some veteran tight ends out there on the free agent market that you don't necessarily have to break open the bank.
Although they are starting to dry up, because I mean, you look at the guy from was Indianapolis re-signed. Vernon Davis just
Doyle.
Re-signed.
Yeah.
And Doyle, that's who it was, Doyle. Vernon Davis just re-signed. So that leaves you a couple guys. Well, you got Bennett, who's going to cost you a lot of money. And then you got Cooks, who's going to cost
Jared
you a lot
Cook.
Of money. Yeah. So Cook, not Brandon. I'm thinking Brandon
you
Cook.
You got Anthony Fasano, though. I mean, I wasn't necessarily thinking more of a big name. I was thinking a guy that's known for, you know, he can catch passes, he can block.
Fasano's the guy that could block, and you could probably get him on the cheap, in my opinion.
And
I really do.
Here's another intriguing name. Gavin Escobar from the Cowboys, mm-hmm. who's the backup to Winnen. And the reason I bring him up, what happened when the Giants went after a backup Cowboys tight end the last time? It was Martellus Bennett.
Sure.
He wanted a bigger role, a bigger opportunity. He was chomping at the bit. The Giants have a better track record when they go after the tight end that's just about to break out. So Gavin Escobar is the one that fits that bill, and he also has the frame where he can block,
yeah.
and he's waiting to expand his role because he's been playing behind Jason Witten. Now, here's the thing. If the Cowboys think Witten's going to retire, correct. That's exactly what I was going to get to. If they think Witten's only going to play for another season, Dallas is probably going to look to maybe retain him, but they also have their own financial restraints because of the salary cap.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, if you could, just look at Adam Shaheed, man.
Well, I know exactly who you're talking about, and I just brought his profile up. I hear what you're saying. I mean, he has gotten rave reviews because of his frame. Like you said, he's 6'6", and so forth. And, you know, I'm looking at NFL.com. This is an interesting comparison. They always put an NFL comparison to the prospect. They put Vance McDonald's name, who is well-known for being with the San Francisco 49ers, and Vance McDonald was the complement to Vernon Davis, the guy who could, you know, block while the other tight end would run out and catch passes. And McDonald also has developed as a receiver, too. So that's an intriguing comparison because he's a name that, once again, most people would not recognize Vance McDonald, but he's been productive in his limited time here in the NFL. So, I mean, if he could be the next Vance McDonald, you know, that's not necessarily a bad fit for this team.
Yep.
And then my last little point, the only reason I worry about going after a solid blocking inline tight end is because I think a lot of problems we had on offense, aside from the running game, was predictability. And I don't want somebody out there who's, okay, he's out there, they're more likely going to run the ball. That adds to the problem if we don't fix the line like we want.
Well, but you know what? And I think you bring up an interesting point, Rob, but this has always been my philosophy about football. If you have the right personnel on the field, even if it looks predictable and they know you're going to run the football, you know what good teams do?
Run the
they
football.
Still run the football, Rob. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes I feel like we read too much into it. Oh, they put this tight end. He can only block. So clearly the Giants are going to run. But you know what? There's teams that say, we're going to run.
Stop
you
it.
Know we're going to run. Go ahead and stop it.
Yeah, if you're that good.
Yeah.
If you're that good at doing it.
Thanks for taking my call.
You got
okay,
it, Rob.
Thank
appreciate
you.
The call. Thanks so much for weighing in. All right, let's head back to the lines. We got Nugs in Kansas City. Nugs, what's happening?
Hey, Nugs.
Hey, what's going on, you guys?
Doing well, Nugs. How's things with you?
So what's the talk of Kansas City? Are you in Kansas City, Nugs?
Yeah, I'm still in Kansas City. All the right. Weather's pretty good, you know, the food's good, you know, the people are nice. So.
What's going on? Are you guys losing the quarterback up there? What's been the talk? Who's coming to Kansas City? Is Alex Smith staying? Is he leaving? You guys getting Romo? You know?
Chiefs kickoff live starts in about 5 minutes. We want to know the inside scoop.
I'm calling Giants kickoff live. Been calling into this show for years. I'm not worried about what the Chiefs are doing.
Well, I'm just curious. Cause, you know,
Jeff just likes to get the pulse of the nation.
I like to get the pulse of the other towns. You know, like, because I know that we're rabid around here. It's crazy, you know, this time of the year, what they're talking about.
Sometimes you tend to live in a bubble, so that's why. Yeah.
Anyways, what do you got?
Who wanted Romo? Nobody up here wanted Tony Romo. So.
Okay, that's cool. That's all I wanted to know.
So what do you have for us, Nugs?
Okay, well, you know, I've been listening and I've been just gathering my thoughts. If we can sign JPP to a long-term contract, okay, you know, I'm fine with that. I was really disappointed that we put the franchise tag on him. I know it was to buy more time to get to a longer-term contract, but I would hate to see, like, a situation where JPP is holding out and becoming a distraction or whatever. But if we can get him signed long-term and free up some more cap room, then I'm fine with that.
Well, they can always – they can always pull that tag when he says, I don't want to do this, and that will immediately free up $17 million. So I think that they're both working on it and that, you know, eventually it's not going to – it's gonna have to give one way or the other sooner or later because you don't want you don't want JPP to hold the Giants organization at ransom here before what they're going to do. Each one of them are going to want to know what our plans are and what do we want. We got to get this done.
Well, and the plans, I think, much more so for the future, Jeff, than necessarily for this year, because when you give a player the franchise tag, as you just alluded to, the contract for that one-year tender, it's a placeholder. Mm-hmm. That's what's being held up on the cap, meaning the $17 million approximately, what the franchise tender is for defensive ends, it's already factored into your cap. But you want to probably know, if you're planning ahead, is, well, what would we have to have him on the books for 18 and 19 and 20, and what would be the cap hit, so that if we want to extend somebody else, yep, we know what type of a figure we're working with.
Yep, and you got to look at how they're increasing the cap every year, what exactly the percentage of it is, too. Sorry, Nugs, go ahead, bud.
And I might be the minority among Giants fans, but I felt like Okwara, like, I didn't have JPP separation anxiety once I saw how Okwara handled himself as a young guy, finally getting those reps, and he looked like he was prepared, he looked like he was hungry, and he looked like he was ready. So, you know, that's why I'm going to say on the JPP thing. As far as the Brandon Marshall thing, I think it's a good signing. I think it's a veteran guy. And the thing I liked about Brandon Marshall is he played with Jay the Butler Cutler. He played with the one-hit wonder Fitzpatrick. And even when those guys were flaming out, he never threw his quarterback under the bus. So I think that he's the guy that will be there and will show these guys how to be a professional, because I think he's a great professional. I personally would have liked to have seen us go for Terrell Pryor.
A lot of money.
Lot more money. Keep that in mind.
He's probably going to ask for more than Brandon Marshall is getting in the next 2 years.
I mean, 2 years, $12 million. I think we could have gotten 12.
No way.
No way.
He's a $12 million a year guy.
Yeah. I mean, his starting point is about $10 million.
His numbers were not that good last year.
It doesn't matter. He's younger. He's younger, and there's potential tied to him. There's going to be teams that are willing to throw money at him, Nugs, because of just pure upside and potential. And when you're looking at a difference in age, nothing against Marshall, but Marshall's going to be 33 later this month. Still productive, but Terrell Pryor's younger. So you have to at least take that into consideration. Teams are willing to invest more in younger players. It's a young league. That's what it's about.
Although the Browns don't think that.
Well, Cleveland may be the exception, but still.
I just think we're one of those franchises, like we're the Steelers, we're the Giants, we're the Patriots. You know, like I think that the guys will take $2 million less to know that he's got a bona fide chance to win. I mean, he just came from Cleveland.
Yeah, but look at
it. A team that's going
to. But I didn't mean to cut you off, Nugs. You have to look at it from Terrell Pryor's viewpoint. He just transitioned to wide receiver. Okay?
He's basically almost out of the league.
Correct. He has not had his mega contract. He was on a rookie deal when he was brought in with the Raiders. And remember, he was in the supplemental draft. He wasn't even in the regular draft. So he came to the Raiders in 2012. Then he was out of the league, as Jeff mentioned. Then he was a quarterback. He was a jack of all trades. This was his breakout campaign. If you're Terrell Pryor, you are looking for your first mega contract. I don't know if his priority or his rationale is, I just want to go to the team where I'm going to win. He's also looking to cash in. It's a little bit different than where Brandon Marshall is in his career.
Yeah, they're completely different stories.
I understand that, you know. But I think that, you know, I'm just going to keep an eye and see what happens with him in free agency. But I think that when he ultimately does sign, I don't think it's going to be for big-time money. So big that, you know,
I bet it's double figures. No. I bet it's double figures.
I would agree with Jeff. And all it takes is one team, Nugs. That's all it takes.
So you think Terrell Pryor is going to make $10 million plus a year?
Yep.
That's his goal. Based on the reports, that's his goal. And I think a team is going to give him that.
Okay, that's fine. Before I get off, I'll take it off the air. I think that basically we need to figure out something with linebacker. I don't know how much money we got left in the piggy bank, you know.
What specifically at linebacker, though? When you say they have to address that, what do you mean by that?
To re-sign guys?
Well, yeah.
You know, if my fairy godmother was in the room, I would say Dante Hightower, but I think he's going to be too expensive.
Okay, but I guess what Jeff, I think, was angling at, if they were to bring back Keenan Robinson – let's go based on that premise, and they were bring back Kelvin Shepard, because those are the two guys that shared the middle who are free agents. And then you look at how Devon Kennard, I thought, made progress, significant steps moving forward. Casillas is still in the mix. B.J. Goodson, a young guy who's developing. That's why I asked, when you say they have to address linebacker, what do you mean? Re-sign guys, or you just want to see a bunch of new faces here?
No. Going from the it ain't broke, don't fix it, I'm never going to say, okay, scrap the guys that we got because that was a top 10 defense. It's So if we can bring those guys back and they can be a little bit healthier, because I know, you know, a couple of those guys missed games and our defense kind of looked, you know, shaky when a couple of those guys went down for a couple games. But if we can bring back the guys that we already had, I'm fine. Let's re-up. Let's reload. Let's do that. But if we can't bring those guys back and we've got enough money to make one more splash play, because I think in the draft, I want to see us just – in the draft, I want our first four picks to be pass rushers, guard, tackle. You know what I'm saying? That first four picks. I'm not
even worried
about –
You want to address the trenches. That's basically what you want to address.
In the draft, I want us to get younger and build from the inside out with guys that we can develop on their rookie contracts before we have to pay them. But if we're going to make some free agent acquisitions, I would like – I was just talking to one of my friends. I said, I wouldn't mind getting Revis for safety, to be a safety.
Okay.
Well, it's possible he may make that transition, but then again, you know, I mean, the Giants have some young safeties.
Yeah, a lot of them.
They don't want to, you know, if you're
being a lot like, Marshall, he's already here. He probably doesn't want to leave New York. You know, he'll probably take a little less money to prove it because the word on him is he's washed up. So he's got plenty to prove.
Yeah, but the word is that he is washed up. He may want to have plenty to prove, but if he can't prove it, then he's washed up. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't think he's got anything left in him.
He can be a cornerback anymore, but he can be a safety.
Yeah, I don't even know about that.
Well, I mean, there's question marks about that because he's never played that position, Nugs. And listen, we want to try to squeeze in another caller.
I don't know how much football he really wants to play. I don't think he wants to play football.
I think you'd have to ask some of those
questions. He's made more money than anybody in football. I swear, that guy's got gobs of money. He doesn't need any more.
he's cashed in plenty. Oh my God, is he cashed in? He is. I'm not going to disagree with you there. We have seen, though, a player who comes to mind like Charles Woodson, who later on in his career wanted to continue playing and went to safety. And so it's been done before.
Yeah, borderline Hall of Famer now. You know, so yeah, you're right. You could get it done, but it won't be here. I can tell you that ain't going to happen.
Well, because I think if you look at it from the Giants' perspective, Jeff, you have Landon Collins. Sophomore campaign broke out, still certainly on the up. And then Darian Thompson, who the goal is come back healthy and develop.
Yep.
So do you want to then bring in a veteran unless he's okay with being that third or fourth safety and he's not nearly going to get as many reps? If you're okay with that and it's a good deal, it's something maybe you'd consider. But I don't know if I'd bring in a vet like that to then get in the way of the development of somebody like Darian Thompson.
I just don't see Darrell Revis coming in that type of a role. I just don't see that in his DNA. I just think that would just be, hey, you know what? In my mind, he would hang it up before he.
I agree with you. I think if he's going to make the transition, he wants to be a starting safety. You're not going to make the transition.
And like I said,
so
it's not about money
reps.
At this point for Darrell Revis. It's more about principle, and
absolutely.
I think that he probably wouldn't do it.
Let's head back to the phone lines. B-Lo is in New Orleans. B-Lo, what's happening?
What's going on, guys? Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you.
Hi, B-Lo.
So what do you have for us, B-Lo?
Well, first I want to talk about this draft. One person that we cannot pick up is Leonard Fournette. I'm sorry. I love him. He's a hometown hero coming from St. Aug up to LSU. You know, LSU is big down here, too. That's our college team.
Yep.
But for the last 3 years, let me ask this question. What college team reminds you guys, defensive-wise, what college team reminds you guys of the pros?
Well, I'd throw Alabama out there. I think
Alabama's
very close.
Exactly. So Alabama is pretty much like the pros. Leonard Fournette has been shut down from Alabama for the last 3 years. Granted, this last past year, he had an ankle problem, but when he was fine, I don't even think he got 100 yards combined all three seasons. It seems like he lost his vision.
He didn't.
He was tiptoeing a little bit, you know.
Well, B-Lo, I'll say this. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I would not worry. The Giants are drafting 23rd overall. If Leonard Fournette is still there at 23, then something went wrong with him in the views of other teams. He will be long off the board by the time the Giants select in the 23rd spot. I'm very confident in saying that.
You think? You think?
I'm going out on a limb there, I know. Yes. So, I mean, I understand your feelings, and we're not trying to cut you off there, but I don't think you have anything to worry about where he would be in a position that he would fall that low. So.
I would much rather if we can't get an offensive line guy, whether it's a guard, tackle, center, I would rather us go for one of these run first type teams like Iowa or Alabama and get their tight end.
OJ,
because those guys are taught to block like a tackle and catch like a receiver.
Well, the Giants moved up to draft Landon Collins, and he came from Alabama, and that certainly turned out very well. And I'm sure our colleague Howard Cross will give the seal of approval if the Giants want to go after another player out of Alabama. I don't think he will complain about that. And Howard is as close to a two-way tight end as you will see in this draft class. But then again, as I said with Fournette, I think it may be a stretch to say that he's going to be there at 23 as well.
Leonard Fournette ran a 4.5 40 and weighs 240 pounds. I don't want to be on the other end of that when he's running down.
Yeah, that's a lot of muscle coming in.
You're going to tell me on special teams, Jeff, you don't want to be the punter that has to track him down?
He's going
to
score.
Sure?
He's going to score. He's going to score. Oh, my goodness.
I would much rather us pick up Eddie Lacy. He kind of reminds me of Brandon Jacobs.
Free agent for the Packers.
I
would rather that happen. Paul Perkins and Shane Vereen a little bit. I would rather him push the pile a little bit.
That's understandable, and I think that if the Giants were to go after a bigger back in free agency, you know, that would certainly make sense. And Eddie Lacy's name has been thrown around on this program, at least, in the past. So he's somebody that fits the bill. But I know, based on reports that I've seen, Green Bay is not all of a sudden throwing him away so quickly. They have interest in bringing him back. So
they told him he was going to drop weight again. That's probably what happened.
Well, that's always been an issue with respect to Eddie Lacy. But I know Green Bay, I mean, you have to give Lacy, I thought, was very productive before he got hurt this season.
Yeah,
he was put on IR.
Yeah.
He did turn the corner.
Yep.
Based on what we had seen in previous years. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's all I have, you guys. Y'all take it easy. And I appreciate everything y'all do. Y'all really keep us floating over here.
Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you tuning in, B-Lo.
Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for the phone call. And don't be shy. Feel free to give us a ring again here on the program.
Wow, they do have him at there.
You're that surprised at Fournette.
And they got Saints picking him in this mock.
And where the Saints are at where? Where do they
11.
Have? 11. See, I've seen top 10 selections for him for the most part. Yeah. I'd be very surprised if he's there.
I think I'm just more surprised at that. I guess, you know what? I'll tell you why they're there. Because of what Ezekiel Elliott did.
Of course.
I mean, because last year was we hadn't seen a first-round draft pick in a running back for a while.
Wait on that.
Yeah, but I guess they got some rare talent, 240 pounds, running 4.5. I mean, wow. That's like I said, that is some steam coming down. I remember watching Brandon Jacobs run over guys in games, and I would just be like, how are these corners coming up and hitting this guy? He's 6'4", 200 and almost 45, 50 pounds, Brandon Jacobs was. I mean, how is a cornerback who's 5'11", 180 pounds coming and hitting this guy? I could not believe it. It's unbelievable. So
let's get to a few tweets before we wrap up the program.
Tweet.
Some people correct that didn't have an opportunity to weigh in on the phone lines. Lewis at Lewis V. Kristen writes, I think Fasano would be the Giants' best bet at tight end. That was the veteran that we brought up, Anthony Fasano.
Yeah. Good tight end. Good blocking tight end. Not an exceptional pass threat, but he can catch the football.
Now, a lot of people are actually tweeting about this. I did not see this. We were talking about how tackles are dropping like flies. It looks like Ricky Wagner, according to Ian Rappaport of NFL Media, has agreed to a deal with the Lions. Now, what does that mean for Riley Reiff, who's a free agent for Detroit?
Okay.
So now that means he's not coming back to Detroit.
Yeah, they're going to swap.
But Wagner is leaving the Ravens, according to Ian Rappaport, and he is heading to the Lions. So it looks like that's one tackle that you could take off the board.
There is the tampering period, as they call it.
Yes. Right? Well, we're beyond the tampering where yesterday at noon Eastern, you're at least able to start to talk to other teams. You can't sign officially, though,
until
Thursday
year.
At 4. Yes, with the league year. But I think we're beyond the tampering period. Yeah. I think it's certainly okay to be chatting through your agent with other teams and so far. Let's just take a
And again, number. if the Giants indeed have signed, or when they signed Brandon Marshall, remember, he was a free agent. He was not a an unrestricted free agent. He was cut by the Jets, therefore the Giants can sign him before free agency starts, just to, so people know that.
And on the topic of Marshall, speaking of that, Jeff, at Gruen Ben, he writes, Marshall can win the contested short passes. No one else on the wide receiver corps can win, so the quick pass should work better than in 2016, meaning if Manning gets rid of the football quicker and so forth, that Marshall is another weapon. But, I mean, I think most people would say Marshall, at least in the red zone, too, for a quick release is a guy that can make a difference.
Absolutely.
Forget necessarily in the middle of the field. You get down within the 20, Manning
you
has
options.
You got
a quick release, you got a high fade, you got a, you got it all.
And that's something that is extremely attractive. So,
anybody tweeting out about the Hurricanes beating Syracuse right now?
No, we have not heard anything about that. What, you're keeping close tabs on the ACC tournament, I see.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, look at that, a 36-28 edge.
Which I actually think this game may be a play-in game. And for I don't see Syracuse.
For the big dance.
Yeah, yeah, could be. But 36-28 is halftime.
There you go. So for those of you looking to keep up on the whereabouts of the ACC
tournament.
Are you a
big – I know you're a basketball – you're a basketball commentator. Okay,
yes,
yeah.
Yes,
so are you a big bracket guy? You do brackets?
I will certainly delve into a few.
I mean, you don't have like 15 brackets.
No,
going.
I'm not that crazy. It's the same thing like fantasy sports teams. There's only so many that you can balance. You know, you maybe pick a few. I'll do a few probably, two or three. Nothing more than that.
I love college basketball in the tournament. I don't watch a lot of it during the regular season. So therefore, you could guess how successful I am at my brackets. But,
well, with you, it's going to be easy now. You're just going to pick Miami if Miami gets in. I think we know where your allegiance is now, Jeff.
The Hurricanes a couple years ago made it to the Elite Eight.
They did. Oh, Larinaga's done a phenomenal job. I was actually up there earlier to call a game. So he has done a really nice job over the last years. He had Shane Larkin, if you remember, Barry Larkin's son.
Yep, yeah.
The big leaguer. So he's done a nice job recruiting, and that's what it's all about. But the jump he made when he was at George Mason and then all of a sudden moved over to Miami, I mean, Miami's now a powerhouse in the ACC. He's done a really nice job.
It's really a good program, and I think that – you know, we'll be talking about the Hurricane football team.
Oh, I can only imagine. I was going to say the football we're going to be talking. I don't know how much basketball and Jim Larinaga is going to be covered on this program. We'll be talking more about the special teams for the Miami Hurricanes.
That's it.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, it's coming up.
Well, March Madness is upon us, as Jeff just alluded to, and clearly March Madness is upon the Giants. According to multiple reports, once again, Brandon Marshall joining the Giants. Nothing official yet, but for more exclusive coverage, stay locked to Giants.com for all the latest with respect to free agency. Certainly appreciate everybody for tuning in on the program. Jeff, it was nice to reunite with you here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Feels
Thank
like
you.
It's been some time.
I know. Well,
since we chatted.
It has been some time.
It has.
It seems
yes,
like
it.
It
seems. No,
it
that
has
is reality.
Been some time.
I know.
Yeah.
Indeed. But
I
for
mean, you got Dottino and Dottino just hogging up the Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Yes.
And, you know, no, but. It's good to be back, and John Schmelk was out today. They were coming back from something, and so he asked me to fill in for him, and I obliged, and I appreciate it.
Sounds good. Well, it was fun, as always, going back and forth. For Jeff Fiegels, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. We'll speak to you tomorrow right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live.